Santa Fe is often touted as the third largest art market in the U.S., right behind New York and L.A. International art appraiser Bernard Ewell lives here in Santa Fe, but has traveled the world evaluating works of the masters. He is a renowned authority on Salvador Dali. He's served as an expert witness for the Federal Trade Commission, for the FBI, the IRS, and numerous other law enforcement agencies. Ewell's lively book, Artful Dodgers, is chock-a-block with stories of fine art frauds and tips on how to avoid them. I spoke with Bernard Ewell to find out more about the dark side of the art world. Welcome, Bernard.
Thank you very much. What a pleasure.
What is the difference, or is there a difference, between fake art and forged art?
Well, forgery generally refers to the signature. If you have written Picasso across a piece, you have just forged his signature. The term is also applicable to art that is copied or is a reproduction of an existing artwork. That could also be forged. But basically, fake is a slightly larger term, and it takes in all the different forms of illegitimately reproduced artwork, which is then signed and sold as original, new works that have been created in the style of an artist that is then signed and sold as original by the artist, and pastiches, which are pretty fascinating. Those are artworks that are fakes. They're made up by someone other than the artist, but the artist uses recognizable images from authentic works. So when you look at it, well, as you know, my specialty is Salvador Dali. I see lots and lots of fakes. Probably 40% of the Dalis I look at is a minimum. So I will see a pastiche, and I'll look at it, and I'll say, oh, I recognize that melted watch. We all know that that comes from Persistence of Memory 1931 collection of Museum of Modern Art. So those are pastiches. But fake, forgery, they're pretty much interchangeable terms.
Can you give us a couple of examples of typical art scams involving either art paintings or prints?
Yeah, I certainly can. And it might be interesting if I kept them fairly close to home.
Okay.
Right here in Santa Fe, we have every bit as much trouble as anywhere else in the art market. As a matter of fact, I was at a memorial service for a dealer a few years ago, and someone said, well, I read your book, and it sounds like they're felons all through the art market, but that's not true in Santa Fe, is it? And I said, oh, yes, it is. And I said, you're kidding. And I looked around the room, and I said, well, these are practically all dealers, and I see three who are felons and several others who should be. And they were just shocked. So I do not mean to damn all art dealers. There's so many art dealers who are really, really trying hard to represent living artists and build their reputations to sell really good art that wouldn't be available in the community otherwise. I know that in the book I say that possibly the concept of an honest art dealer is an oxymoron, but it's not 100% true.
Okay.
That's more than it should be. So here in Santa Fe, there's some interesting things. I was sitting at my desk one day when my office was downtown in a wonderful historic compound I had, and one of my staff people put their head and said, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so are here. I've put their painting on the easel. And I said, fine, I just have to go take care of something quickly first. So going to where I had to take care of that little task, I walked through my examination room, said hi to them, glanced at the painting that was on the easel, and walked on saying to myself, oh, these poor kids, oh, too bad. Because in that flash, what I had seen is that on the easel was what appeared to be a Pablo Picasso portrait in oil on canvas, probably of Jacqueline, but it wasn't right. Well, people who become experts have this internal computer in their brain that takes all the millions of things they've seen and comes up with an answer very, very quickly. So people say, well, you can't tell right away, can you? And I say, yes, I really can tell right away. But, you know, a mechanic can do the same thing. You drive into his shop, and he listens to your car, and he already knows some things about how the engine is running.
That's a great analogy.
And that really applies in every single field. So I did know, but then the job is you go back and become an art detective and look for all the clues. And invariably, the clues basically support your first impression. Unfortunately, they bought it at a sale on Canyon Road that was held several summers ago by a gallery that's no longer there, and it was supposedly the estate or the collection of someone at a distance. I eventually saw three Picasso fakes that came out of that sale. And that gallery that I think had their main gallery in Texas somewhere, maybe Austin, refused to admit anything, stand behind it or anything else. They said, no, we know where this came from. We know they're real. But that poor couple, they decided not to pursue it. So they basically lost their $40,000.
Tell us about the time you and your son went undercover in Santa Fe.
Oh, undercover assignments are always fun. Yeah, this particular one was, I think, the first one my son did with me. And basically, I went into a gallery as a tourist, didn't know anything. And it's great to have my son with me because it looks more genuine that way. Actually, I was on assignment from the Attorney General of New Mexico. And they had some suspicions and some reports about this gallery. So I went in and looked around, engaged the dealer, talked about stuff, did a lot of oh, wow, and aw, shucks kind of stuff about these things are real. I mean, someone can really own one of these. And behind the desk, I saw on the wall a Picasso. It appeared to be a crayon drawing. And I asked if I could look at it. He took it down and put it on the counter right in front of me. And so, of course, I said, wow, is this really? I mean, this is a real thing. I mean, I could really buy this and I could own a Picasso. Oh, yeah. I'm glad he took it down because I knew it when I first glanced at it that something was wrong. When he put it on the counter in front of me, I saw right away what was wrong. What was wrong was that this piece of paper actually had a print, a black and white reproduction of a Picasso painting, and someone had gone over it with crayon, making it appear to be an original crayon drawing.
Are fine art scams and schemes a widespread problem in the city of Santa Fe? And I've heard you talk about art dealers and so forth who are untouchable. Tell us about that.
To begin with, I wouldn't say it's a wide problem in Santa Fe. It's a problem anywhere in the art market. I think the problem is not so much that people are selling fakes and forgeries. I think it's more that a lot that is being sold is overrepresented, is overhyped. But there certainly have been some fairly major crimes committed in Santa Fe. And yes, I do use the term untouchable because there are untouchables within the art market.
And what do you mean by that term?
Well, what I mean is typically in this market, they have achieved a lot of prominence in the art market. They're well known. They may have galleries in other cities. They don't have to, but they may have galleries in other cities. They tend to be some of the big-time dealers who really built the art market here in Santa Fe. And at this point, and actually for a number of years now, they have had sufficient money, sufficient clout in the community, and sufficient political influence that they've never really been publicly disgraced for their actions. If there was a problem, it's been taken care of quietly. There was only one case that went very public, and that was the sale of $1 million worth of Georgia O'Keeffe's, which when they were found not to be authentic, were bought back for $4 million.
And can you tell me who the seller was in that case?
Yeah, that was Gerald Peters.
Do you think most dealers know when a work of art is fraudulent and they're just running a scam, or could they be scammed as well?
That's a wonderful question. When I was testifying in all those federal cases, I knew in every single case that the dealers that were selling the fake Salvador Dali prints knew precisely what they were selling, even though their defense was, well, we trusted the guy we bought them from. We've been working with him for years. At the same time, dealers don't look at art. I found this over and over and over again. I engaged a dealer in a discussion about something, and they really haven't looked at the work. They've never really looked closely. There was one dealer in Breckenridge, Colorado, who had me come to look at a couple of Matisse etchings that he had. And I very quickly pointed out to him that one of the etchings was from a plate that had been canceled. That was after the edition was run. He had scratched his initials and the date in the plate, which then printed backwards as part of the image. And that the other one, the pencil signature, misspelled the artist's name.
Oh, dear.
And he hadn't noticed either one of those things. So I'm open to the proposition that some dealers sell fakes they don't know are fakes because they're not paying attention and probably haven't developed their own connoisseurship enough But in large measure, I think they know what they're selling.
Have you ever been wrong, by the way?
I get that question, and I always cringe because the answer makes me sound like something I'm not. I have never been proved wrong. I have had people say, oh, I think he's wrong, or I disregard, you know, what he says or something like that. But then when we do the evaluation, I'm always supported.
What is your role as an international art appraiser? What do you do that the others don't
well,
or
what
can't?
What I do that appraisers generally don't do, and the appraisal societies would tell you you don't do, is I do give opinions of authenticity. Appraisers are not supposed to. They're not supposed to be experts in the art of anyone in particular. They are supposed to rather research and reflect the value as demonstrated by actual sales in the market. So like real estate appraisers, they're always looking for comparables. And they are supposed to assume that this piece will be accepted by the market as being authentic. So I'm kind of alone in that. I've sort of done that on my own. It's dangerous, of course. It's much more dangerous. But the job of the appraiser is to examine an artwork and take all of the details that then, hopefully through their research, they can fit into a pattern and say, well, it looks as if this painting by size, by subject matter, by complexity, by condition, fits right about here in this list of paintings that have sold. So it's really all about value for appraisers.
Art crime is big business. Which case where you acted as art detective involved the most money?
As a matter of fact, every single year I check into the FBI and they still list art crime as the third largest crime in dollar value after illegal drugs and firearms. Although I think that as they get a handle on cyber crime, if they make that a category, that's probably going to surpass everything. The largest case of all was one that was prosecuted by the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York. And while I was working on that, he came to meet me. They usually did. And so I was introduced to and shook the hand of Rudy Giuliani, because he was the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. And that case, we estimated the sales from one source, from one family, a family of a publisher, had reached at least $1 billion with a B.
Wow. And it was all fake?
That was the fakes, yeah. And in their warehouse, they still had $750,000 worth of fakes that haven't been sold yet.
That is big business. Finally, let's talk about how can fine art buyers avoid being conned when they're purchasing artwork?
Well, of course, there's never a substitution for knowledge. People who don't know much or are beginners tend to get hurt a lot more than people who know more. So developing connoisseurship and some knowledge yourself helps a lot.
But based on what we've discussed, it sounds to me like most of us, even those who are fairly well-educated art consumers, should probably get an expert opinion. And if that's true, shouldn't you get the opinion before you buy it instead of afterward?
That is a terrific point. I was about to make it, and you are absolutely right. All too often, I am hired by people after they have bought art that they want to have checked out. And then we have to go through the whole deal of getting their money back if it's not right. If it's going to be fair amount of money or an important artist, it's absolutely a good idea to have it checked out first. I've gone into lots of galleries to look at things for people. I've gone into auctions. The trouble with an auction is you have to get there well ahead of time if you want to have any effect at all. You can certainly warn off a buyer, but that's about all you can do. One of the annual auctions here in Santa Fe, I walked in and a curator from a National Park Service who is the expert on the art of Burbank, Edward Ayer Burbank, ran up to me and said, Bernard, there are four fake Burbanks here. And I walked over and looked at him and I said, you're right. And we told the auctioneer, made no difference at all to anybody about, you know, these may not be real or anything like that. So if it's in an auction, you want to get there as soon as possible ahead of time, because if we say, no, that's not right, then the auctioneer hopefully will pull it from the sale. So a good dealer will let you get a second opinion. And a good dealer will, and this is the most important thing of all, give you a written money-back guarantee. that if the artwork turns out to be something other than what has been represented, you'll get your money back.
Thanks very much, Bernard Ewell, Santa Fe's international art appraiser and author of Artful Dodgers, Fraud and Foolishness in the Art Market. For KSFR, I'm Mary Lou Cooper.